I thank the Lord for you being here this morning. And I know we've done a lot of things this morning as we have some other mornings this year, because our emphasis is on family and recognizing our church family and all of you. And we're so thankful for you being here. I do appreciate so much the E-Team and Miss Amanda for you. I got to thinking, did I ever give you a card, Miss Amanda? I guess I did. It's not up here, so. But we had a little gift for from the church. But we've been studying about Abraham, and it's been so many other things going on, the continuity you probably hadn't had. So this morning I only have 18 points to finish, because I got to get all my sermons in to this morning, because I wanted to finish it this month. And so I got to start real quick. So if you will, look in your Bible, please, in the book of Genesis chapter 14. And will you look at verse number 19? And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand." And he gave him tithes of all. Melchizedek is the one speaking in verse number 18. And he's the high priest of Salem, which will become Jerusalem. And Salem means peace. So he was the prince or the king of peace. And here Melchizedek is a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's been a battle. The enemy came in and took Lot and a lot of their possessions, a lot of Abraham's possession. And God gave him power, and he went. And he had taken stuff from there around Jerusalem, and also in Sodom even, and other places. And Abraham went, and he got every bit of that. He defeated the enemy, and he brought all of it back. And then he, in turn, turned around and gave the priest 10% of what was gained in the battle. Then the king of Sodom tried to give him all of the goods, all the treasures that he recovered. He wouldn't have any of it. He said, "No, I have made a covenant that I wasn't going to take anything, not one dime from you." And he said, but God gave the victory. And here you hear Melchizedek talking about the God of Abraham. He calls him the Most High God and the God which hath delivered thee. Will you bow with me in prayer? Father, I want to thank you this morning for a wonderful Sunday school hour. Thank you, God, for Brother Barry, Lord, for the anointing of God is on him to teach the Sunday school class, and for all of our other teachers. Lord, how I've been blessed as we've talked about the Holy Ghost of God in the Old Testament. And we understand the Holy Ghost of God is God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Therefore, our Father, we see that throughout the Bible, there is this phrase, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because it certainly wasn't Abraham. It certainly wasn't Isaac or Jacob, either one, the supplanter. But it was their God. And you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of creation is the God of 2025 here at Benson Grove Baptist Church. You're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. And now, Father, I bless you and thank you that I'm able to bow and confess to you that there's no good thing in me. And God, I ask you this morning to speak to me and through me to your people and to those who may not know you here this morning and in the media audits. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Going through the book of Genesis, we talked about Abraham. He's the most prominent figure even in the Old Testament. You think about Noah, and you think about Moses, you think about Daniel, you think about Isaiah, and they're all prominent. But there's no other person in the Old Testament mentioned in the New Testament more than Abraham. He's the father of Israel. He's the father of the faithful of the church. And you find him as the Lord gave the parable, or the story, I believe personally, about the rich man who died and in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And he saw the man Lazarus, the beggar Lazarus, in Abraham's bosom. And he was comforted. And he speaks to him. He has an interaction with Abraham. And he said, "Abraham, would you send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue?" And of course, he could not. And Abraham said, "Remember that in your lifetime, you had all the blessings and he had all the problems. But now he's blessed. And you're tormented because we can't go to you and you can't come to us. When you die, it's all over with. There's no such thing as purgatory. When you die, you're either in heaven or hell. Now, all that's changed now, that paradise, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he'd suffered, bled, and died. The Bible said he led captivity captive, and he ascended. He took those saints of the Old Testament up into his very presence, and hell hath enlarged itself, according to Isaiah, and it's full of those who don't know Christ. You can be saved and go to heaven, or you can be lost and stay just like you are, and you'll be in hell for all eternity. But what about Abraham? What have we learned about God? Not so much the man Abraham. On Father's Day, I pointed out to you, he had many flaws. He was not a perfect man. And Samson, we studied this morning about Samson. Man, Samson, he had all kind of problems. But it's not Samson. It's the God of Samson. It's not Abraham. It's the God of Abraham that we need to see. And what do we learn about the God of Abraham? In the first place, we notice this in this passage of Scripture. He's a God. He is the God that can deliver you. He is a chain breaker. He can deliver you from anything, from any bondage, from drug addiction to the bondage of pleasure, from the desire to be wealthy, from the self-centered life. God can deliver you that, but most of all, he certainly can deliver you from your sin. He can break that yoke of sin and save you from all of your sin. He is a deliverer. You can't do any of that by yourself. Only he can do that. People say, Brother Bill, I can't live the Christian life. And I said, neither can I. You can't live it. I can't live it. We are saved by the grace of God. The Holy Spirit of God is inside of us. And he enables us to do what we could do. Before my family left this morning, my son-in-law said to me, and he said something. I don't know what all he said altogether, but basically he made this statement. He said, you're probably the best man I've ever known. And I told him this. I said, if there's anything, it's the Lord. It's just the Lord. And I wanted him to know that. It's just the Lord. And it's not the God of it's not Abraham or Isaac, but it's God. And that God is able to deliver you. But notice something else. In type, Melchizedek represented the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave tithes to him. Now, this is before the law. In the law, they were commanded to give tithes of all that God gave them. We are instructed in the Bible that we are to give him the first fruits of the increase. We honor him. Now, why is that? Why did Abraham do that? Abraham had fought the battle. Abraham had won the war. He had got all that material wealth and plus the people that he reclaimed. Why did he do that? Well, he's acknowledging the fact of that man who represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And without him, you can do nothing. And why is it that God wants us to give? You think God needs your money? I don't think God needs your money. He needs your heart. And you've been here 28 years. I hadn't ever preached much on money because I'm convinced that if he's got your heart, he'll get your pocketbook. Amen. You're a giving church. You're a loving church. And I thank the Lord for that. But my dear friend, we need to honor God because there's a promise connected to that. He said, if you'll give to the Lord, then he'll give back to you. We don't give because of that. And it's as God has prospered you, you obey God and you give him. But my dear friend, he is a God that deserves our tithes. And you need to honor him with that. When you come to the book of Malachi, that wonderful passage that preachers love, so glad God put it in there. Will a man rob God? And you say, wherein have we robbed God? And he said, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Because you see, the tithe is the Lord. The tenth is the Lord's. And the offerings that you honor him and praise him. It's a gift of thanksgiving and praise. And it's acknowledging him that he is the mighty God. He is the deliverer. And because of that, we give our offerings to honor him. And we don't rob God. It's God's. And so we don't rob God. We give our tithe. And people say to me, Brother Bill, I can't afford to tithe. I got all these other things. I'm going to tell you right now, you can't afford not to tithe. If you'll start giving, you'll see God blessing and God's going to take care of you. But let's go to another point. Look over, if you will, please, in chapter 15. I'll try to stay right close here so we can get to them real quick. In chapter 15, I read this verse connected to one of the messages, but I want to reemphasize it this morning. Felt like the Lord wanted me to. Look at verse 6. And he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Here's the New Testament principle that when you come to the New Testament, we're justified by faith, that and we're saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. And by faith, God imputes to us righteousness. You see, we have, like the prodigal son, we have on all our old dirty clothes. And when he came back, they said to him, bring forth the best robe and let's put it on him. Now, the best robe represents the righteousness of Christ. And so he took off all of his filthy, dirty garments and clothed him in a brand new best robe, which represents the righteousness of Christ. And so what it means is this, by faith, when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, it's counted, it's put on your account as righteousness, because what it is he imputes, that means he gives and puts to your account. Basically what he did is he took all of your sin and laid it on his son. And when you believed in Jesus, he took all the righteousness of Christ and laid it on you. It's not my righteousness, not your righteousness. We get saved by grace through faith. We stay saved by grace through faith because it's not my righteousness, it's his righteousness. And the God of Abraham, this is before the law. This is before Moses. This is before the Red Sea. This is before all those other things that we've studied about and the wonderful works, the prophecies of the Old Testament, that we learn this truth, that the only way to be right before God is for him to give us his righteousness and be clothed in his righteousness. And Abraham's God, the God of Abraham, is one who will clothe you in righteousness. Look over in chapter 16 and look at verse number 11 and listen to what it said. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, that's to Sarah, to his wife, behold, thou shalt be with child and shall bear a son and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy afflictions. And as I read through here and I saw the same truth over and over again, God spoke to my heart. God is the one who hears, and particularly he hears your affliction. God knows your heart. He knows in this building this morning every broken heart. He knows every sadness. He knows how you've been betrayed. He knows how your children have turned their back on you maybe and on God. He knows the unfaithfulness of a friend. He knows the hurt that you feel. And it says God heard that. God hears. The other night, Brother Linwood brought a tremendous message from 2 Chronicles. And when Solomon was building the temple, he said, Lord, let it be that when hard times comes, pestilence comes, judgment comes, that if we come to this place and we cry out to you, you'll hear us and you'll heal our land. And then after the dedication of the temple, God spoke to Solomon and here's what he said. He said, now I've heard your prayer and I'm going to answer your prayer. And now my ear is open to requests made in this place. Can I tell you right now where you're sitting at, that burden you're carrying, that pain you're carrying, God's heard it. He's heard the heartache you have. The cries of those in bondage in Egypt came up before him. And the God of Abraham is one who hears. He's interested. He's interested. That precious little Ava a while ago in this building, you may have heard her at some point in time, but not like Brantley and not like Olivia, because their ears are tuned to every little sound she makes. And when they're at home and it's just Olivia maybe and the baby, all kind of things going on, dogs barking outside, cars going by, ambulances. In spite of all of that, you know what Mama hears? She hears the whimper or slight cry or just the sound of her baby. And the God of Abraham has tuned into you like that. Nobody cares. Nobody's listening. The Bible said, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Because the God of Abraham heard her affliction and he hears. That's the God of Abraham. Boy, that's a God I'd love to know. That's the God I do know. the God who will save you by grace, the God who will give you His righteousness, the God who can deliver you from all of your enemies. He's the God, my dear friend, that will hear everything. Notice in chapter 17 again, and look at it in verse number 1. And when Abram was 99 years old and he's 99 years old, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect or mature. The God of Abraham is an Almighty God. What does that say to me? It says this, that he's anything he can't do. Matter of fact, over in a little further in the Word of God here, you'll find this statement. Is anything too hard for God? Nothing's too hard for Him. The God of Abraham is the Almighty God. There's no enemy that can stand before Him. There's no need that will not be met. There's no heart that cannot be mended. There's no sin that cannot be forgiven. There's no battle that He cannot win in your life. He is the Almighty God, and thank God for that. This God, look over in chapter number 19. Here's the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot, and I want to pull out of here just a little bit. Notice, if you will, please, in verse 19 of chapter number 19, behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight and has magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountains, lest I should some evil take me and I die. This is Lot speaking, but he's talking to the God of Abraham. And he said, the God of Abraham is a God of grace and mercy. While Lot lingered, the angels came and told Lot, God's fixing to destroy this city in Sodom, and you got to get out of here. And he was kind of wishing, wallowing around thinking about it. And the Bible said, while he lingered, the angels took hold of his hands, his wife's hand, and his family, and took them out. That's God's grace, God's grace. And I'm thankful that the God of Abraham is the God of grace and mercy. Turn over, if you will, please, to chapter 22, chapter number 22. And I'm skipping over a few things, trying to mind the Holy Ghost this morning. Look in chapter 22 and look with me, please, at verse number 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him there was a ram caught in the thicket with his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. What a blessing that is. If you will remember, there was a question I preached to you about last week. Where is the lamb? And he called that place Jehovah Jireh, which means the God heard and God provided. Look at verse 8 in that same chapter. And Abraham said to my son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. The God of Abraham is a God who provides. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm standing here today because God has met every one of my needs all of my life. Not one thing have I ever needed that God did not give me. There may be some things I thought I needed. I didn't get it. But I'm here because God gave me everything I've ever needed. And you're here for the same reason. God's met your need. In fact, He makes it rain on the just and the unjust. But for those who know Him especially, He cares for you. And He is the God that provides. He is Jehovah Jireh. The God of Abraham is our provider. The word Father means provider and protector. And our Heavenly Father, Jesus said, when you pray like this, our Father which art in heaven, because the God of Abraham is the God that provides everything that you need. Notice in chapter 24 and at verse number 27, in chapter 24, in verse number 27, listen to this. This is the servant of Abraham. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham. He's talking about Abraham's God, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. And I being in the way, the Lord led me unto the house of my master's brother. The Lord led him. The God of Abraham is a God that leads. I love that Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And he said, I trust him. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. If he's leading you, he's leading you by the still waters. He's leading you by the green pastures. And he'll even lead you through the shadow of death until you get home to be with the Lord. You say, Brother Bill, I just don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know where I'm supposed to go or what I'm supposed to do. All you're supposed to do is follow him. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. You just trust him, believe him, and follow him. The God of Abraham is the God that leads. Notice, if you will, in chapter 25, and I'll be through here this morning. In chapter 25, look at verse number 18. In 25 and verse number 18. Well, let me back up. I want to find another, this other verse. Notice, if you will, please, in verse 8, not 18, but verse 8. Chapter 25, verse 8. Listen to this. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man full of years. Now listen to this last phrase. And he was gathered to his people. Over in the book of Hebrews, it says that Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And he died in this world, not ever finding it. But he found it on the other side of death. He's gathered. That says two or three things about, number one, if you're gathered, you don't do that yourself. Many of you have blessed me and Regina with some corn or some squash or tomatoes or different things. You gathered it out of your garden and you brought it to us. But that corn didn't just jump up and run in the house. The tomatoes didn't run in the house. You went and gathered it. And I mean, somebody else did that. And so when it says that Abraham was gathered to his family, somebody else did that. Who did that? The Lord himself. The Bible says, the Lord said, I'll go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and I will receive you into myself, that where I am, there you might be also. He's the one doing the gathering. When your mama died, your little girl died, your wife died, your husband died, God was just gathering. He was gathering. When you go out in the garden, you don't gather cuckleberries or anything like that. You go out to pick the mature fruit. And so it tells me this, that God is gathering his children at his appointed time. I don't know how old that is or when it is, but when they are ready, when it's his time, he gathers them and he takes them home. But this tells me something else, that wherever he took them to, he already had loved ones there. He was gathered, the Bible said, to his people. He came to his people. What a wonderful thought that a God can gather you and take you. What Abraham looked for was a city whose builder and maker was God. And the Bible said in that same passage, wherefore God hath prepared for them a city. We do have a prepared city. And you know who's there? Our loved ones who knew Christ are there. And when we are at our point in time, when it's time for us, God to come and gather us and take us to be with our people, with our family in heaven. I love church. I love being with y'all. I love being around my family. And the only thing about it is, most of the time, you have to hug one another and say goodbye. I was talking to Brother Mike Parker, and there's a friend of ours down in Florida that's fixing to cross the river. And he said that she had already had all the family, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren. And she hugged them all and said she loved them. And she told them goodbye, but I'll see you on the other side. What a blessing to know that there's a God who has a place prepared for you, a city. And that God is the God of Abraham. And if you'll trust him by faith, he'll give you the righteousness of Christ. He'll guide you the rest of your life. He'll provide for you the rest of your life. And when this life is over, he's just going to gather you up and take you home to live in a place called heaven forever. That's not a bad deal. Let's bow together for prayer. Those of you who are saved don't understand what I'm fixing to say. I don't see why in the world anybody and everybody doesn't want to get saved. You have to give up something. Well, I don't know what you'd give up. I didn't give up nothing but sin and bondage and sadness and a ticket to hell. But I got everything. I have a God who is greater than all my enemies. I have an almighty God who can do anything. I have a God who provides. I have a God who hears my every burden, my every affliction, and He meets that need. I have a God who provides everything I've needed. I have a God who will take me to heaven one of these days to be with my family that's there. We were thinking the other day, Regina and I, July the 15th was the birthday of our oldest daughter, and she celebrated it in heaven. I wonder what she looks like now. I know I'll know her when I see her. We got loved ones over there, family over there, preacher friends over there. One of these days, there's going to be a big gathering, a homecoming. And it might be that we don't all leave here individually. It might be that we'll leave as a whole group and we'll go meet our loved ones. For the Lord Himself should ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ arise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Why wouldn't everybody want to have their sins forgiven? Why wouldn't everybody want to go to heaven? Why wouldn't everybody like to know they'd be with their loved ones who know Christ forever and forever in a place where there's no sickness, no sorrow, no sadness? I'm glad for the God of Abraham. There were no Bibles in that day. There was no E-team. There was no music, no communication like we have now. But Abraham knew God, and God knew Abraham, and God blessed him. You'll get to meet Him one of these days because you're part of that family. You're one of them who trusted Christ. But for you who don't know Christ in this building, your only appointment right now currently is hell. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Not whether you're going to go to hell or not, but because of your works at the judgment seat and at the white throne, rather, for those who are lost. But my dear friend, listen, you don't have to be that way. You can know Christ. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you believe in your heart and confess that God had raised Him from the dead, do you believe? Will you believe? Will you accept Him as your Savior? And for those of you who are saved, don't let the devil beat you down, defeat you, discourage you, because you're one of the children of God and a child of Abraham. Your God is the Almighty God. Your God is the one who hears all of your affliction. He's the God who can take care of everything you need. He will provide it, and just thank Him for it. The least I can do is be faithful to the house of God, read the Word of God, and tell others about Him, and to honor Him with the first fruits that He gives me, and let Him know I'm sure thankful that everything I have, You gave to me. And I'm glad I can return a portion to You, to reverence You and honor You. Dear Lord Jesus, I have been blessed today. As I came in the building for Sunday school and kind of rushed in, it was a joy to see my friends here. What a blessing to be able to sit this morning and listen to the Word of God from the man of God. Lord, I thank You for Brother Barry and his family, and what a blessing they've been to me over these years. But God, not only that, Jeff leading the choir, Juan leading the singing, the special music, and Jeff singing for us this morning, and Jeff Price leading the choir. Lord, I've been blessed. Lord, what a week of Vacation Bible School. Those of us who were here and could see it, be a part of it, will never forget it. Lord, I am so blessed. These folk worked day and night. They had to work on their jobs, and they came in here and they worked. from the crash to the refreshments and to the wonderful meals and all the game time and the Bible studies and all the singing. Lord, it was a little bit like heaven around here. Lord, it's so good to see the children happy, rejoicing. And our Father, please, please, don't let not one of them get addicted to drugs, destroy their body, lose their life. God, I pray that seed's been sown this week, that they'll get saved and live forever. God, I pray now that you'd bless. Lord, I don't know exactly what folks are supposed to do, but the Holy Ghost will tell them. I pray, God, you'd speak to hearts now.